This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, good Friday to you. Good weekend with no football.
Nevertheless, when we get back on Monday, there's going to be a week of hype. The hype starts a little bit. It percolates like a cup of coffee. But you don't really get it until the teams are at the Super Bowl site. Once they land, once there's the media event, once you really get the world press in one area, that's when the hype really starts. It doesn't mean we haven't been able to figure and break down the Chiefs and the Eagles and some of the questions that we're going to have. But the reality of it is that next week and the whole week is a celebration of the NFL and its biggest game on the schedule. And listen, I know this weekend there's no football, but I'll tell you, when I pull myself away from the big picture, I actually like it this way. I like the 2 weeks between the championship games and the Super Bowl. I know there's people who don't. You know, people say, look, I want to go one right to the other. But I think it allows the NFL to breathe a little bit. It allows for players to get a little bit more healthy, which is what you want in the championship game. And it does allow the NFL to do its other business. And its other business is entertaining corporate America. And that's what it does. We've had a couple of Super Bowls that we've had to do the one-year gap. They actually tried it 1 year on its own, and then they had to do it for 9-11 because of the year of 9-11. But for the most part, you get this week. The teams get to handle personal business. They get initially the preparations, and then they get to go to Arizona or New Orleans or Miami or wherever they're heading, and then put on, you know, the week of the show of the NFL. But the reality of it is that this Super Bowl, is there a legacy on the line? And it's a tough question to ask, because for the Eagles, I don't know if you can say that. You've got a Nick Sirianni that's only been the head coach there for 2 years. You got Jalen Hurts in his third year. And he's already earned the right to now be the high-paid Eagles quarterback that people were wondering if he was going to be. Kansas City, it's a completely different story. Kansas City is in their third Super Bowl in the last 4 years. And they've played in five AFC championship games, as we know. And Patrick Mahomes is in this elite class in discussing his legacy in the National Football League. He's not amongst the guys who occasionally played in the Super Bowl. He's amongst the guys who have played in a number of Super Bowls and now needs to win a couple of Super Bowls. His Hall of Fame resume is already there. People are already putting him in as one of the top quarterbacks who have ever played the game. And that's a pretty big statement, but it's there. I think his accomplishments in the postseason and what he's meant to the organization does it anyway. But he's going into this Super Bowl kind of, he's kind of plagued by, again, a high ankle sprain that while they worked on it and worked on it and worked on it, it did affect his game late, even though they won that game. You could see it kind of creeping in. That's why that final run where he got hit by Joseph Osai, that was remarkable because we didn't think he would do that. That's putting it out there on the line. But he'll have 2 weeks to get the right treatment for that. But also his wide receiving core, Mecole Hardman, Juju Smith-Schuster. There's a lot of hurt guys. Now the Eagles are coming in with a lot more than Jalen Hurts. Nobody runs the ball better. The offensive line is the best in the league. The pass rush is the best in the league. The secondary is the best in the league. So this isn't just Jalen Hurts leading a team to a Super Bowl. This is everybody leading the Eagles to a Super Bowl. It's just that the focus is always going to be on the quarterback because the quarterback is the one that can cost you the game when everything else is good and everything else plays. A mistake here, a mistake there. Steelers were well built going into Super Bowl 30. Two interceptions by Neil O'Donnell and the Cowboys win that Super Bowl. So is there a legacy on the line? Is it too early to talk about that with Kansas City? I never want to promise anybody that a team is going to be back in a Super Bowl. Doesn't happen. Sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. Dan Marino never returned after Super Bowl 19. We didn't think John Elway would get back After a few years after losing to the 49ers in Super Bowl 24, we were wondering if his time in Denver was over. They drafted Tommy Maddox to take his job, and he kept it. And then later in his mid-30s, got them to back-to-back Super Bowls, winning back-to-back Super Bowls. I never want to promise Super Bowls to anybody, but you got to think, if you're just a betting guy or you just got a hunch, that the Kansas City Chiefs story is far from being written in, you know, completed in the book. So I don't know. The answer to the question is I doubt it. Because I don't think we look at Patrick Mahomes, even if he were to lose this Super Bowl, as a losing quarterback that had multiple opportunities and went 1-2 in Super Bowls early in his career. I don't think we see him that way. I think we see him as the face of the NFL, a guy worth every penny that he's getting paid. A guy that's worth your time, if you're not a fan of the Chiefs, to watch him play. I mean, just the fact that he's never been on the road in a playoff game is remarkable. How many quarterbacks can have said that? We've had a week where we've been talking about Tom Brady's retirement and what he's meant. Tom Brady was the greatest of all time because of longevity, because of the domination of the Patriots. But did he ever wow us like Patrick Mahomes? No. He wasn't athletic like that. He wasn't doing the sidearm throws and behind-the-back passes and all the trickery that Patrick Mahomes can do to get out of trouble. He wasn't that. But we are watching a new generation come in, and that's their quarterback. Not from a fan point, not from a I root for this guy, but that's the guy that is going to define their generation. That level of play and that consistent play. Never underestimate, and this is a big deal, do not underestimate the way history will look at Patrick Mahomes this season, given the circumstances of his team. When you lose a Tyreek Hill, and you still manage to be the number one passer in the NFL, lead the league in passing yards, lead the league in touchdowns, lead the league in scoring, the number one seed in the AFC, hosting yet another AFC title game, and another trip to the Super Bowl, do not underestimate how history will look at that one season alone. Whether it becomes a championship or not, we tend to dumb down things in sports. We tend to lose a little bit of the nitty-gritty details, as I like to say. We simplify a lot of things. When reality is there's a lot more to the story than just one little blanket statement. But I honestly believe that if the Eagles win this Super Bowl, that people will remember this Super Bowl as how the Eagles were built rather than a beat-up Kansas City team not winning the Super Bowl. You've got to give credit to the opponent. And I think the Eagles, coming into the Super Bowl, the betting favorite, there's a reason for that. They're good on both sides of the line. They are great at getting to the quarterback. And when you've got a quarterback, whether it's been treated for 3 weeks and with every ounce of medicine that you could, and every ounce of therapy and every ounce of treatment, whatever it is, when you can get after the quarterback with a bum ankle, you're going to create some things. And I think the Eagles are going to be able to do that. But not only that, their secondary is outstanding. And Mahomes is going to find himself having to really thread needles. And the timing better be there. And if the Eagles disrupt the timing, they're going to win the Super Bowl. And they don't need Jalen Hurts to do very much at all. When you look at the NFC Championship game and you see the 49ers and all the talk about Brock Purdy getting hurt, and boy, I really wish. The Eagles were able to run all over the 49ers. Now, to the Niners' credit, it is hard to stop a run when you're exhausted. It's hard to stop the run when your offense can't get anything moving. So I'll give them that. But the 49ers' defense is no joke. And the Eagles had 4 rushing touchdowns. The Chiefs defense is not 49ers defense. And if they just run and run and run, This could be a very interesting Super Bowl where Patrick Mahomes is going to have to do some things to get the Chiefs back into a football game with an injured wide receiving core that whether or not they're going to play or not, and it looks like they are, they're all banged up pretty badly. So I don't know, going back to the original question, I don't know how much legacy is on the line here for Kansas City. We do this in sports where you get to the championship and then we want to start talking about your place in history. When you get there once, we don't do that. When you get there twice, we start, you know, perking. When you get there three times, now we start wanting to know, what does this mean? We did it with the Buffalo Bills. We did it with the Dallas Cowboys when they won. We did it with the Patriots when they won their 3 out of 4 before they started going to more and more and more and more Super Bowls. We're going to do it to the Chiefs. That's going to be a running commentary all week long next week. What would it mean if they were to win? What would it mean if they lose? And it doesn't, the arguments don't go for the Eagles. You can't talk about the Eagles and a legacy if you've got a coach in his second year and a quarterback in his third. But what you can do with the Eagles, and I think this is going to get brought up this week, what you can do with the Eagles, like we did with the Rams, is start talking about a way, a philosophy of building your team. We're going to get to that coming up next. Also, is it just an ESPN thing or is this a sports-wide thing that this is Michael Jordan Day because of the date on the calendar? By the way, happy birthday to my sister, Christina. She's born on Michael Jordan Day because of 2-3-23. Well, we'll talk about more about the Super Bowl. Your thoughts on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. As we continue, good morning. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with his Wake Up Call on SportsNap Radio. I'm still battling this stupid cold. Why can't I
heal properly?
So is
it a cold?
I don't know what it is.
Because you said you don't have any other symptoms going on.
Okay, so here's the deal. I can do anything. I swear, I can do anything. I can go out to eat. I can do chores around the house. I can go work out at the gym. But what I can't do is, like, I have, like, my throat hurts. Like, I have a little bubble, like a thing in my throat. And, like, every now and then if you hear me pause, it's because I'm coughing. You know, just to give you a little inside of radio. Like, I've just got this little thing. Other than that, no ailments at all. I don't have the shivers, you know. I'm not, like, you know, drinking tea while I'm in three blankets. No, nothing. Nothing. You know, went out last night, had a good, you know, walked around, went to my daughter's basketball game, chilled out, and no problems. No problems sleeping. But then I get like this congestion. So I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I just have to give it time, I guess, for it to sort of leave my
system. That's what I say, right? Got to let it heal.
Yeah, I know. Yes, I could, you know, I'll admit, I'm a little baby when I'm sick, when I'm really, really sick. I don't want to do anything. I want to just sit in a blanket, blah, 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 blah. My wife's like, what do you need? And she goes, oh, all right.
Price is right on an infinite loop.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Give me a TV remote. Give me a blanket. Give me some tea. Give me some chicken soup. I'm good. But no, that's not it. It's just this little congestion that I can't seem to get rid of. So anyway, that's what I've been fighting all week. So nevertheless. So anyway, Super Bowl, next week, we're going to have a lot of hype, a lot of buzz, a lot of breakdowns. And this is why I like the 2 weeks. I'm okay with the 2 weeks. I know we don't have football this weekend and people are going to lose their minds and whatnot. But I'm okay. I think in this case, I like the patience of it. I don't mind it. I've lived through only a couple of times where we've had the Super Bowl right after the championship games. And I just felt like the game didn't really separate from everything else. So I'm okay with it. I know if you're one of those people that wants the Super Bowl the very next weekend, I'm totally cool with that. I can't argue against it. It's just a more personal thing for me that I like the build up and I like the fact that teams can get all their business done, because as I've gotten into this business, I started to realize how much going to the Super Bowl was a drain on players and staff, because you have so many things you're doing. right? You've got so many family members. You have your own tickets. You're dealing with this or that. There's a lot of preparation that you have to do to get to the Super Bowl and everything around the Super Bowl. And to be honest with you, and this is something that doesn't affect us fans, the NFL likes corporate. They like the corporate parties. They like the whole corporate America descending on one city, and everybody gets the time to do that. I know that doesn't affect us as fans, but that's the way the NFL does its business. But like I was saying earlier, as this game gets more and more, and as we get closer and closer, and there's more and more analysis to dissect, we're going to start out thinking one thing about this game. And by the time we get to the game, we might have an entirely different view on it. And that's what I've always found intriguing, right? Like, you always get these matchups where you feel like, and this is not one of them, because I think this game could go either way. But there's some matchups in the Super Bowl where we went, oh, man, I have no idea how Team A is going to beat Team B. Team B's a juggernaut, dynasty. Oh. And then as the weeks go on, I'll give you an example, Giants-Patriots. Remember that Super Bowl in Arizona?
Yep.
The first one? Where the Patriots were not only 18-0 going into that game, but they were also scoring, like, Brady threw 50 touchdowns. They were a machine. They had Randy Moss. They were scoring a zillion points. And as the week, like, we started off that week going, there is no way the Giants are going to win this Super Bowl. None. Giants should just be lucky that they're there. Because remember, the Giants got in when they beat Green Bay in Green Bay. Remember that? And so there's no way the Giants are going to win. And as the weeks went on, what was happening? There were some people saying things like, well, you know, if the Giants can do this or this, and everybody went, watch out, bulletin board material for the Patriots. Look out. Remember Plaxico Burress was talking about how the Giants were going to win this one in a easily or something like that. He made some comment, and everybody went, oh, don't poke the bear. What's wrong with you? Don't poke Brady. He's going to put 60 on you, right? But as the week went on, when you dive into something and you're looking for anything, you start finding them. There were a little bit of nuggets here or there. They're like, wait a minute, the Giants, let's go back to that regular season game. And they did this, this, and this. And the Patriots are going to have to respond to that. And if the Giants can do it again, this could do all of those things. And what did they do in the Super Bowl? They did that. They got Brady. They went pressure up front. They caused the timing to be way off. And all of a sudden, this juggernaut scoring machine was held in check, and just enough for the Giants to pull off a miracle helmet catch and Manning finding Plaxico Burress in the corner of the end zone in a very low scoring game. Now, will we have that now? I don't think so, because I don't think we'll have a Super Bowl when we really get kickstarted on Monday. I don't think we'll have a Super Bowl where we think one team is going to dominate. I don't think you're going to have that. That's not this Super Bowl. We might start off with the Eagles favored by 2 points. And by the end of the week, we might have the Chiefs favored by a point. We might have the Eagles favored by 5, depending on where the money is coming in from and how the money is going. But in terms of personal analysis, I wonder how far away from the, this looks like a pretty close game. How far away from that are we going to get, one way or the other? Right? I mean, Kansas City, they're pulling this out. It's when we look back on the AFC title game and that high ankle sprain, we're either going to look at it two ways. Either A, it wasn't as severe as people thought, or B, he pulled off one of the greatest performances with that injury that we've ever seen a quarterback pull off. Right? 326 yards, two passing touchdowns, right? The run at the end that helped set up the penalty, which set up the field goal that won him the game. It might go down in history as one of the greatest performances by an injured quarterback that we've seen. Does he have to pull off this Super Bowl to do it? Does he have to pull off this Super Bowl? We tend not to remember championship games as much. We tend to remember Super Bowls, but we tend not to remember how teams got to those Super Bowls. But as I was saying at the top of the hour, I think the Eagles could send a message by how you build your football team. You build your football team and give your quarterback all the tools you need. It starts with that line of scrimmage. It starts with the defensive front. It starts with your offensive line. Then you build talent and you give your quarterback all the tools he needs. Jalen Hurts has weapons to throw to and weapons to hand the ball off to, and he's a weapon himself. And, oh, by the way, they are being blocked in front by one of the best offensive lines, if not the best offensive line in the league. And on the flip side, this opportunistic defense shuts down passing lanes and gets to the quarterback better than anybody in the league. So the Eagles, if they win this Super Bowl, could win this Super Bowl in a way much like the Rams, where you might have a sort of philosophy of, hey, you know what? Get your star quarterback. Yeah, okay. But also make sure there's stuff around that star quarterback and build it in your image. And Howie Roseman is something we were talking about early this week and even so much going into the championship game with Eton. The way you win a championship, the way the Eagles won that championship against the Patriots in Super Bowl 52 and then still looked at themselves and went, you know what? This isn't going to last. This isn't sustainable. Do you know what they have right now? Something sustainable. Right? You can only keep players for so long, and eventually attrition comes in and players leave for more money. It happened to the Seahawks before the Seahawks could really build something. But the Eagles could be building something where they're in the next two or three Super Bowls because of how well they are on both sides of the ball. And as we speak today, let's be honest, who in the NFC outside of the 49ers are popping up to be a massive threat? You're going to have Tom Brady out of this league, and you possibly are going to have Aaron Rodgers out of the conference. Outside of the Niners, who else? Now, there's always somebody. We know that, right? We know there's always somebody. Who it is, I have no idea. But there's always somebody. There's always somebody that kind of comes out of nowhere, and they have a really good season. Maybe Minnesota gets their act together. I doubt it, but you know. Yeah. Right? And I think Minnesota Viking fans are like, no, I doubt it too.
I think Minnesota Viking fans will sit there like, didn't we just get our act together this year?
Right. Yeah. Didn't we just go 13-4?
Look at all those games we won.
Right?
Barely. Oh.
Maybe it's the Lions. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Who it is? It's there's always somebody. But if you're the Eagles and you're this strong and you could stay this strong, you're gonna be in the running for the next couple of years.
I think they're here to stay.
I think they're here to stay, too.
I mean, it's a young team.
I do. And here's the thing. If you're Howie Roseman, you got to do what the Patriots did, right? When you would lose a player, you have to find a matching player. You have to find a player. You have
to go look. Plug and play.
Plug and play. Plug and play. Let's have a system plug and play. If you can do that, they'll be in the Super Bowl for a number of times in the next 5 or 6 years. All right, we'll continue. Let's talk some NBA when we come back in this pursuit of Kareem. We'll continue.
Sportsnet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on Sportsnet Radio. All right, so LeBron James is now 68 points away, or 63 points away, from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
God, is he taking his sweet time.
He is taking his sweet
time. Let's do it in one game, LeBron. What are you waiting
for? Let's just let him score every point and get it over with. The inevitability of this mark. I know LeBron James is a polarizing basketball player. I get it. He got himself in the political world. Some athletes don't do it. Michael Jordan famously did not. Some athletes do. Some athletes are passionate about what's going on the political landscape, and they want their opinions known. And LeBron's one of those athletes, and it's polarizing. People stick to basketball, shut up and dribble, everything like that. And I know that that's affected the way people view him. But I go back to... I look at his story arc, right? I look at him like a movie, right? You start off as a hero, then you turn into a villain, and then you have to work your way back to hero status, right? He made a really bad decision, and it's been documented many, many times. He made a bad choice when he made the decision. Everybody looks on it now, and it's almost embarrassingly dumb.
I think he has to look at it that way,
yeah,
too, right?
I think so. If he's older and more mature.
Yeah.
If we've all done dumb things when we were younger, and some of us have done dumb things because we were advised to do it, right? I mean, some of us were told to do things by advisors that backfired, and it's possible that he was in that position where he was told by certain people in his life and that he trusted that this would be a huge deal, that everybody would love it. It would be great. You know, instead of coming out and releasing a press release, do a TV show, raise some money for the kids, you know, whatnot. Everyone sort of forgot he was raising money for the kids. Nobody cared. It looked stupid. It was a dumb look on TV. But the overall point of that was that he became this villain. And he had to sort of embrace it a little bit, right? Then he got a little braggadocious with not one, not two, not three, right? All of that. He's like, screw it. If everybody's against us, we might as well just be out there. And then they played Dallas. They lost to Dallas, and everybody went nuts. Everybody cheered. Everybody loved it. But everybody kind of knew eventually he was going to get something. That team was too talented. They weren't going to lose all the time. And then they got their titles, and everyone was like, all right, fine. And then he went back to Cleveland. And I think that's when things started to change a bit for LeBron, is when he went back to Cleveland. And he won the championship in Cleveland. And it was a feel-good moment. That city had not gotten championships when they had LeBron. The Indians couldn't win World Series. The Browns suffered time and time again in the 80s in those championship games. The drive, the fumble. And, you know, just a franchise that they lost the franchise. The franchise had to be reinvented. And then it hasn't won anything. So the city of Cleveland got its parade. And it's got its parade because the prodigal son returned. But then he went to Los Angeles, and like you and I had said, it was the quietest major move of a superstar. I can't remember a quieter one. No fanfare, no nothing. Just going to L.A. Wins a title in the bubble. People look at it the way they look at it. Bubble, whatever. It's a title. It goes in the record books as a title. But the Lakers have struggled since. But now he's on the verge of becoming the all-time scoring leader in the NBA. But here's the thing, and something I was talking about yesterday. As was pointed out this morning on Twitter, I think Dave McManus pointed this out. He's also fourth in the NBA in assists. This isn't a guy that hogs the ball. This isn't a guy that scores 70 points because he takes all the shots. He is building this by allowing everybody he plays with to be part of the process. It is remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable. And it's not, I think it's not getting the due? No, it's getting plenty of due. I mean, the people in the NBA know how important this is. But I don't think it changes anything the way people feel about LeBron James. Look, I can't tell an athlete to get political or not political. That's up to that individual athlete. But sometimes when you do that, you have to sacrifice a little bit. And I think there are certain people that will never look at LeBron James in any level of appreciation because they didn't like some of his tweets on some issues that were going on in the country.
Or they still look at him as that little boy with the decision.
Right. Or they look at him as the young man with the decision who thought he was.
Everybody wants to see me.
Everybody wants to see an hour-long special. Yeah. And I don't think what he realized back then was kicking a franchise in its face is not a good look.
Right.
Right? Not a good look. I mean, I don't blame the owner of the Cavaliers. I forgot his name. Shoot. But nevertheless.
Gilbert.
Dan Gilbert. He wrote that letter really angry.
Yeah.
We'll win a title before you. I don't blame him. He was emotional. That hurt.
People
thought that was stupid, but I'm like, that's not stupid. He was a guy. Here's a guy with a lot of money, doesn't need, you know, whatever. And he's just going by, man, you kicked us in the face.
And then threw sand in our wounds.
Like you knocked us down and then you kicked sand in our face after you knocked us down. Like, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to stick up for my organization, the people that work here, the
city
that supports us. I'm sticking up for everybody that you just kicked. You didn't just kick your teammates, you kicked the ticket sales lady, you kicked the merchandise department, the promotions team, the sales team, everybody in the city that's bought your jersey, everybody in the city that bought tickets and season tickets.
The guy that manages the hot dog cart outside the stadium.
Exactly. You kicked them all. There's a way to leave and there's a way not to leave, and you chose the worst way to leave. Right? You didn't inform us. You made this a TV show. What fan base has to sit and watch a TV show like it's a game show as whether or not the 7 is going to show up on the price of the car? You're right. If you know, like Aaron Rodgers, for example. I don't know how this Aaron Rodgers situation is going to go down, whether it's going to be a trade or, you know, he stays in Green Bay. But let's just say the Packers decided to make it a game show, right? Because the Packers hold the cards here, right? Yeah. They can trade him, or they can say, you're playing for us. But let's say they decided, you know what, screw it, let's have a TV show, and you can watch, and we'll talk about it for a half an hour before we reveal what exactly is going to be the decision on Aaron Rodgers.
But that was my problem with the decision in the first place. It's because it was an hour long, but in the first 5 minutes, you learned of his decision.
Right, right.
So you sat back and you go, the next 55 minutes is just, what, a one-on-one with LeBron?
Yeah, exactly. More kicking Cleveland in the face.
Yeah.
Right? And it's, you know, and look, and and can you recover from that? Well, you know, he did, in a way, come back and win that championship. But for a lot of people, I think it soured LeBron. I think it soured people on LeBron. And it does.
I think Cleveland forgave him.
I think Cleveland forgave him.
But I think
there were a lot of people that never really said, you know, I never really liked him after. There's no reason to like him. Like, I'm not a Cleveland fan. I don't root for the Cavs.
And a lot of it has to do, you know, like you said, like his decisions, you know, whether it's political, whether it's like, you know, hey, I've always been a Yankee fan, except right now when Cleveland's in the World Series.
Right, exactly.
I've always been a Cowboy fan, except right now when, you know, I mean, you know, there's like that, a lot of that flip-flop. I mean, he became a Rams fan last year.
Yeah.
Even though he's a diehard Cowboys fan.
Well, and look, I mean, again, I'm not gonna scold an athlete for being political. You have the stage. You do whatever you want
with
it.
Do what you want with it.
Do whatever you want with it. Like, some parts of me looked at Michael Jordan, and I agree with Michael Jordan. He wanted to sell sneakers to everybody, right? He didn't want to be in a position. He had a brand he wanted to promote. He wanted everybody to like the brand. He didn't want to be in a
position. I mean, isn't that the same knock on Kareem?
Yeah.
Kareem?
Kareem's very political.
Kareem's very political.
There's
a huge group out there of people who just can't stand Kareem.
Exactly. Exactly. Whenever you dive into that arena, it comes with a side that's going to hate you. It doesn't matter what side it is. All right. Both political aisles, right and left. If you come out more right wing, the left wing hates you. If you come out left wing, the right wing hates you. If you dance in the middle, they always talk about if you ride in the middle, you get squashed. Yeah. But if you ride in the middle, you sell sneakers. Right. Like, if you ride in the middle, you sell the merchandise. You can sell the Gatorade. You can sell everything because people are like, yeah, you know what? I can like you for your basketball. But I also can't tell an athlete when they feel something important to them, whether I agree with it or not, that they should never use their stage for that. This is America. I've said this many times. Why is LeBron James not allowed to speak his political views, but the teacher from Schenectady, she can, right? Why is it that LeBron James can't speak out about his political views, but Joe the plumber can, right? Like, there's all, like he's an American, right? He's an American. He has every right to say, whether it's race relations, taxes, the war in Ukraine, political climate, whatever it may be, funding for cancer. If he wants to speak out on whatever the government's doing, he has every right like any other American. But it does come with the idea that there is going to be a portion of the population that's now no longer interested in what you're doing, whether you're a basketball player or not, or pursuing a record or not. Right? And I'm telling you, on a day when people are saying it's Michael Jordan Day, if Michael Jordan was anywhere near this record, we would be on standby alert every single game. Right? And now that we're in the zone of a big game being able to accomplish it. And I don't think we're doing that as much with LeBron. And I think a lot of people are like, just do it. Get it over with already.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call. Good, the Bad, and the Dumb coming up in hour number two. We'll continue to buzz about the Super Bowl and some other news in the NFL. Where is Derek Carr going to go? Where is Aaron Rodgers going to go? What is the best path for the 49ers? You know, I was thinking about that yesterday. I was kind of in my little zone yesterday, and I was thinking about the 49ers. And there's a difference between a quarterback coming into a team while it's rolling along, taking over that momentum and leading you to a you know, an unbeaten record, you know, undefeated while him until they got to the NFC Championship game. And then him becoming the full-time starter. You know, like, you know, again, it's a similar to Tom Brady, right? In Tom Brady winning the Super Bowl, obviously made that decision very easy for the Patriots. But for the 49ers, they went and got Trey Lance. And then Trey Lance got hurt. And they're not going to have Jimmy Garoppolo because Jimmy Garoppolo is an unrestricted free agent. And Brock Purdy's hurt. And he's going to be out 6 months. Here's the thing. If you're the 49ers, what is your best decision when it comes to quarterbacking the team next year? Is it Brock Purdy? Are you 100% from Brock Purdy arriving in OTAs when he's healthy and camp? Actually, he should be good to go by the time training camp starts. So he won't be any OTAs or anything. By the time training camp gets started, Brock Purdy's your quarterback. Is that the right way to go, given his body of work this season?
You mean the following year?
Following year, yeah. Like so 20... this year. No, this upcoming season.
Well, he's having Tommy John surgery.
No, he's going to have he's going to be back. No, he's going to have he was out 6 months.
I think it was reported recently he was having recently? Tommy John.
Oh, if he's having Tommy John, he's going to be out a while.
Yeah, I think he's out for the year, which leads you to go to Trey Lance, and then the real issue comes up later on.
Right. Well, I'll have to look into that because I was thinking it was only 6 months off the surgery, off the UCL surgery. So, because they were buzzing this morning about what they were going to do with Trey Lance, and they were going to make a decision on Brock Purdy. But I will definitely look that one up. But if you're 49ers, how much injury problems are you having as a team when you have three quarterbacks that go down and four quarterbacks go down in the season? Where is your sort of viability?
Okay, I'm going to just say one thing. I think they were flirting with the idea of Tommy John, but he hasn't committed to it.
Well, okay, because that just ruined my whole momentum. So that was
no,
but I got to get the train back on track.
They're saying that they're that why rehab would be quicker, like where you were going first,
right?
But the idea of Tommy John is out there because that's
right.
Because
that's
the foolproof, I guess.
When I was thinking about this yesterday and I was looking it up, they said it was going to be about 6 months.
Yeah,
based on the rehab. So the decision is if he comes back into camp this upcoming season, do you stay with the guy that you moved up or not moved up, but you got in the draft, or do you take a guy that caught the momentum of the team and continued the momentum of the team? Where the schedule fit perfectly, he fit perfectly, or, I mean, do you trust that what you saw when he got the momentum of the team, do you trust that that is going to be the quarterback that takes over, it goes into camp, is the starter from day one, starts the season, you know, is that the avenue you go? Is there enough there that you go, he's the guy, he runs the system well, or... There's nothing to indicate other than injury. Everything that you believed about Trey Lance is still intact, right?
Yeah. I mean,
every decision that you made in the pre-evaluation of drafting Trey Lance, every evaluation that you had is still intact. He has not played enough games for you to be dissuaded that the reason you wanted him in the first place is now null and void just because the guy you picked last in the draft last year carried a winning record all the way through to the NFC title game and got hurt, and the loss to the Eagles is of no fault of his. I mean, look, is Brock Purdy technically undefeated? Kind of technically, yes.
Yes.
Right? I mean, if you want to get down into the detail, technically kind of, right?
I mean, what, three plays? Two right? plays
Couple
into
of plays
the
into
NFC
into the
championship?
Game, he gets hurt.
It's not enough.
Right? So
I hate that they put a one there in right. the loss column for him. So he didn't play.
He played 10 seconds. Right? So in that regard, that's another decision. So there's a bunch of dominoes that could be falling.
It's a weird situation. I can't relate this to anything we've seen in the past.
Right.
Where you drafted number 3, you moved up to get your quarterback and he just hasn't panned out, but the most recent last pick of the draft almost led you to the Super Bowl.
What do we make of a team that has lost four quarterbacks? It got four quarterbacks injured this
yeah.
season. That's insane.
I mean, we got to look at Josh Johnson because I mean, it was that was a telltale thing, right? I mean, I know we're all going to forget about him this year.
Sure.
Because he came in the final. I mean, he, you know, how much did he really play?
They were down to Christian McCaffrey possibly throwing passes.
I'm glad they didn't put him because we already know how injury prone he is.
I mean,
he would have definitely gotten injured.
Injuries are part of the game. We get it. But to lose four quarterbacks en route to an NFC title game, in the NFC, all the way through to the NFC title game.
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
And all, I mean, well, I guess Josh Johnson wasn't season ending, right? Because it was just concussion.
But they all ended up being that way, right?
Like, yeah.
Like Jimmy Garoppolo was not available. Trey Lance was not available. Like, it wasn't like Lance got hurt and then came back. Like, was available. They just went, no, you go sit over there. Like, Brock Purdy was the quarterback of a team that had no other option at quarterback than Josh Johnson. Right? That's a little different than the situation in New England when Brady took over the team. There was a point late in the season where Belichick had to tell Bledsoe, you're healthy to play, but you're not starting anymore.
Right.
And Bledsoe was angry. So it wasn't like Brady was the starter of that team while Bledsoe was up in the, you know, the owner's box with a still dealing with blood in his lungs.
Remember,
no, Bledsoe was in uniform going, am I the starter? And they go, no, you're not.
Romo and Prescott.
Right. Same thing.
Same thing.
Same thing.
You know, Romo was healthy enough to come back. But remember, they made the change to go back to Romo?
Exactly.
And then the following year, like, we're going to go with Prescott from here on out.
So in the end, that, like, you end up having a quarterback that did not establish that he was – there was never a decision in the season like the Cowboys made, like the Patriots made, where they went, that's it. This is the guy. This is the guy going forward. Right? Instead, you go in going, well, when he's healthy, is he the guy? If I'm Brock Purdy, again, if you're right, if he ends up having that Tommy John surgery and is out for a while, he may disappear into the history books.
Right.
Right? What are you going to do if you're the Niners?
Which, I mean, wouldn't that weigh on your decision as well?
Are you going to keep the spot warm for a seventh-round pick who did great, but in the end, this is the not-for-long league for a reason? Like,
yeah.
He's
still Mr. Irrelevant for a reason.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And somebody might evaluate going, hey, look, he played great. Don't get us wrong. But we're going forward now. He's out too long. We've got Trey Lance. We invested money and time and effort and resources on him. He's the quarterback. If he's healthy, he's the guy. We may go in another direction, take another guy.
Like, that really weighs. If I'm Brock, I don't think I'd do it. I don't think I would sit there and go, I can't miss an entire year, because what if Trey comes back and he is incredible? That team. The Niners team is a Super Bowl team.
Right, very much so.
You know, all they need is a healthy captain at the helm. I mean, that's the only problem. I mean, like you said, four quarterbacks were injured under their watch. That's the most important position on the field. We all know that. They couldn't keep that one position healthy. Everyone else on that team, fine.
Yeah.
And that's because it's a Super Bowl team. And you need someone there. Trey Lance, very easily step into that role. Not play incredible, but lead the team to the Super Bowl.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And then we all be like, oh, you remember that one guy? What was his name? You know, he was the last pick. What you remember his name?
Completely disappears.
Yeah, if I'm Brock, I'm coming back in 6 months.
I am really trying to get – right, because it's different from other situations. And there wasn't any feeling – from the Niners that this was the direction that they were going to go anyway, right? Like, they've got two guys now, both recovering from different injuries, right? Now, Garoppolo's an unrestricted free agent. He's gone. So they are going to have to figure out how these injuries are going to be affected and they go into 2023. That's why Aaron Rodgers made the statement he wasn't going to play for San Francisco when he was at the AT&T Pebble Beach this week.
Yeah.
Chilling out. Yeah, he's not going to play for San Francisco. Good.
Yeah, guaranteed injury right there.
Yeah, and neither is Tom Brady, apparently, as of today. It doesn't look like he will.
Just give us some time, Tony. Give us some time.
Yeah, if you're John Lynch, just keep the number handy. Just be like, I'll wait till, like, March.
Yeah, just shoot a text. All you need is just shoot a text to Brady.
Right, just shoot a text. Congratulations in retirement. Enjoy golfing. Keep my number. You know, just call me sometime. John Lynch, love him. All right, Good, the Bad, and the Numb coming up in hour number two as we continue along. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.